This is one of those sermons that I can guarantee everybody in here has either failed it, going through it right now, or going to get it. And I'll be honest with you, probably everybody in here tonight has already got it. Amen. You know, sometimes you come in and you preach messages and just, for example, you preach and part of the crowd, you're preaching to part of the crowd, they're saying amen because it's not really affecting them, but tonight it's going to get everybody. Amen. And I'm not saying I'm going to preach hard or nothing like that. I'm just saying the facts is the facts. I want to preach a little while on the thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And he's talking about, he said, it's not expedient for me to glory. I'll have visions. I'll have visions. And then he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Paul is talking about himself. He is making reference to himself. He's not trying to be boastful, but he is making reference to himself here. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, God. Lord, we could dismiss now, and God, and it's been worthy to be here. It's been a pleasure to be here, God. It's been worth coming. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us as we just open it up and try to expound just a little bit, God, that you would encourage us tonight through your word. God, encourage us tonight, God, to realize, God, that we're not alone in this thing, God. Lord, we're all facing battles. And God, have your hand on us right now, Lord. Whatever's done, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can you imagine? Now, I realize you got to live right. You got to live, be close to God for God to start revealing things to you. Can you imagine the visions that Paul saw? I'll be honest with you. There's only a few people in the Bible that God ever let get this close. If you study the Bible says that God told Daniel to shut the book. Daniel saw things that nobody else had ever saw. God told Daniel, close the book. I'm done talking to you about this. Paul goes in a vision. He says 14 years before him, Paul goes in a vision. He says he is caught up into the third heaven. So I get calls on this all the time. I got a call this past week on somebody asking me what the third heaven was. And I'll briefly explain to you what I believe. You know, we have what we call our heaven. That's what we can look up and see. That's where our airplanes fly. Then you got the second heaven. I told somebody this week, I said, that's kind of where the space shuttle goes, the atmosphere. But then you got the third heaven. That's where God is. Amen. Paul said he went to paradise. That word paradise, the Greek word is paradeos. It means, this is what the interlinear Bible explains this. It's a place like Eden. Paradise. Paul was caught up to heaven. Paul saw things that could not be told about. He went to heaven in his vision. He heard words that was unlawful for him to tell. Paul is saying, I could tell you about my visions, and you would just think the world of me. Think about that. Now, Paul said, if I told you about these visions, oh, you'd lift me up. You'd say, oh, they ain't nobody no greater than Paul. But Paul said, I'm a glory in my weakness. And then he basically says this, but to make sure I didn't get the big head, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Any of y'all ever got big-headed before? And God just showed up and busted your bubble? That's what I'm saying tonight. I'm going to preach on something. We all got a thorn. Everybody in here, every one of us has got a thorn in the flesh. There ain't nobody going, you might be the only one that knows what it is. Your wife might, or your husband might not even know what it is, but everybody's got it. Now, I want you to look at just a few things tonight. Number one, it's a personal thorn. Paul said, now look, notice what he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me. Me right there. It's a singular noun. And basically, if you look it up to the Greek word, it comes from a Greek word, moi, and it means me, mine, me, my. It is a personal thorn. Skip don't have the same thorn that I got. Robert don't have the same thorn that I got. Larry don't have the same thorn. It is a personal thorn. Every one of us face different things. No one person in here is tempted in the same way, Jackie. We all face different temptations, but we all face temptations. It is something personal. When you read this, it's talking about you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Now, you can either call me a liar or you can call the Bible a liar. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And I just read to you, the Bible says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things that ye would. In other words, when I want to do good, the flesh rails up. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but every one of us has that thorn. Paul said, I've got this thorn. There was something in Paul's life. Now you listen. There was something in Paul's life. Now a lot of scholars, Benji, want to say that maybe it was his eyesight or we know from studying the Bible that Paul did not have good eyesight. We know that Paul was not a very big man. He was short in stature. Some people want to say that. Some people want to talk about how that it may have been things in Paul's past, all the stuff that he had done in the past, killing Christians and all that. But I personally believe that it was a certain temptation or certain sin that Paul had to deal with. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says this, for I know that in me, this is Paul talking, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What makes you fall? What's your temptation? I got studying and looking up some stuff today. What are the settings of your fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with when you sin? Avoid them. There are two equally damning lies that Satan wants you to believe. The first lie that Satan wants you to believe is just one time won't hurt. And the second lie Satan wants you to believe, now that you've ruined your life, you've messed it up, so just go ahead and give up. Let me tell you something, we all got it. All of us face this. It is a personal, Charles Spurgeon said, just learn to say no. Just learn to say no. Charles Spurgeon said, if you learn to say no, that's better than learning how to read Latin. If you learn to say no, that's better than learning how to quote the whole Bible. We all got it. It's a messenger of Satan. Number, I want you to notice, and this is what I want to get to. Not only was it a personal thorn, it was a provided thorn. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was sent to given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That word messenger there basically means angel. But in this case, a messenger of Satan, Wes, would mean a demon. A demonic spirit. A demonic spirit that Paul says was sent to buffet him. That word buffet right there, it basically means to rap with the fist or to hit. So Paul, understand something, and I know I've heard Jackie say this before in Sunday school, and Jackie said something to this effect, and I'm going to use it this way. If the demons fight Dallas, what kind of demon fights Dallas? What kind of demons fight the deacons? If a low-level demon is fighting Dallas, the upper echelon comes after your deacons. Well, if they're coming after the deacons, what kind's coming after the preachers? Paul said, and understand something, you got to understand, you got somebody that is waging war against Satan. You got somebody that is living so close to God that God takes him up to the third heaven. You got somebody that heard words that he can't even tell about. You got somebody that's pinning down letters that they're going to canonize one day and put in the Bible. It's going to be called God's Holy Scripture. Don't you know Satan is unloading everything he's got on him? Paul said this was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Paul said that was a demon sent to beat on him. Ever feel like Satan's just beating you up? Or am I by myself in this? The thing about it is, if you don't fight, you're going to lose. That's the thing. If you don't fight, you lose. If you give up, you lose. Historian, I read this today. A historian tells of a soldier who was wounded at the Battle of Shiloh during the American Civil War and was ordered to go to the rear. The fighting was fierce, and within just a few minutes, he returned to his commanding officer. He said, "Captain, give me a gun. This fight ain't got no rear." The battle that you in ain't gonna let up. The battle that you're in tonight ain't got no rear. The battle that you're in tonight, I'm telling you right now, when you defeat this demon, guess what? There's gonna be a bigger one on the way. And when you defeat that demon, guess what? There's gonna be a bigger one on the way. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Understand something. I've got to face the test. Paul said this was a messenger sent to buffet me. And the thing about it is, when you try to get closer to God, that's when Satan's going to unload. It was a painful thorn. It's a personal thorn. It was a provided thorn. It is a painful thorn. It's something that hurts. Now think about this. Paul said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," or three times, "that he would remove it." Now listen. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I want to try to explain something to you tonight. So I believe with all my heart, Paul was hurt. It was a painful thorn. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you hurt God? Don't raise your hand. But when's the last time you did something that you hurt the Lord? When's the last time you did? Maybe it's that sin. Maybe it's that thorn. Maybe it's whatever it is, Wes. But when's the last time that you did something that you hurt the Lord, that you had to come to church or you had to get on an altar somewhere and ask God to forgive you of it? Anybody done that lately? I know I have. I'm going to pick on somebody. Dallas, how did it make you feel when you hurt the Lord? Awful. Painful. Your thorn, every time it comes, every time the demon comes, every time you do that, it makes you feel awful. I don't know about y'all. I'd rather have a physical pain. Brother Ralph, I'd rather have a physical pain than to come into this God's house and know that I hurt Jesus. I'd rather have a physical pain. I'm going to be honest with you. I have actually said this before, me and the Lord talking. Lord, before I go out and do something stupid, God, take me out of this world. Brother Ronnie, I'd rather the Lord take me out of this world than for me to do something stupid and cause a reproach on God, cause a reproach on this church, cause a reproach on my family. I'd rather God take me out and take me on to heaven. But it's a painful thorn. And I'm telling you right now, if you're where you need to be, sin don't interest you. And every time it happens, every time something like that happens, we hurt God. And that ought to break your heart knowing that you hurt God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So we know from that verse that we can hurt God's feelings. Grieve not the Holy Spirit don't just mean when you do something to disrupt the service. That means when you do something to disrupt God. Paul could have had, now let me just say that Paul could have had a physical thorn. I thought about this as I was studying this today. Paul could have had a physical thorn. And it could have been his eyesight. It could have been whatever. And I got to thinking about it today. I know some people that's got physical thorns. What about Jacob Berry? What about Preacher Jonathan Hughes? I wonder how many times, Leanne's here, and Jace every once in a while, he's asked about why don't God heal him, and he's talked to Preacher Jonathan over the years, and I wonder how many times Jacob Berry's mom and dad prayed, and I wonder how many times Preacher Jacob prayed, I wonder how many times Preacher Jonathan prayed for God to touch their body and God to help them. I got to think about it. How many of y'all ever heard of David Ring? A preaching machine. I got to study a little bit today. There's a preacher, an evangelist named Nick Vujicic. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not sure. He has no limbs. He has no arms, no legs. But he's still preaching. You ever go through something and ask God why? 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 Lord, why is this bothering me so bad? Lord, why am I going through this? Lord, why? Lord, why? And I got to think, as I was studying this, I got to think about the little movie Soul Surfer, the little girl got her arm bit off by the shark. It's real easy to get down. It's real easy to ask the Lord why. But God said, my grace is sufficient. It was a purposeful thorn. It had a reason. Paul said this, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm just going to be honest with you. I love preaching. I thank God that I'm the pastor of this church. I don't think I'm that good of a preacher. I know that when, as far as Preacher Buddy C or Preacher Billy Fields, some of those guys, those are my heroes in the faith. But I'm just going to be honest with you. If you ain't got a thorn, Dale, every once in a while, you'll get the big head. Oh, there have been times, I'm just going to be honest with you. Robert knows what I'm talking about. There have been times that Robert got up and sang, and I'm talking about the Spirit of God fall, and people shouting and running, getting saved or whatever, and the old devil said, ooh, you did a good job tonight. There have been times that I've got up and preached. And I mean the power of God fall. And before you could get to the back door, the devil said, "Woo, boy, I tell you right now, son, you on fire." Don't take long for God to show back up. Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times that we come in on Sunday morning, have a throw-down service, Jackie. Come back Sunday night, the same thing again. I'm telling you right now, couldn't get no better. People being saved, people being baptized. And on Monday morning, the thorn shows up. It's purposeful. God knows what he's doing. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." I found this little illustration. Some of y'all have heard of George Washington Carver, probably one of the smartest men. And I have to back up when I talk about this sometimes, because I'm guilty. Probably one of the smartest men to ever live. And if I ain't careful, what I like to say and what we like to say, probably one of the smartest black men. No, I'm talking about the smartest men that ever lived. He was a scientist who developed hundreds of uses for the peanut. I mean, he come up with all kind of stuff. He said, "When I was young, I said to God, 'God, tell me the mystery of the universe.' But God answered, 'That knowledge is reserved for me alone.' So I said, 'God, tell me the mystery of the peanut.' Then God said, 'Well, George, that's more close to your size.' And he did. I once read an illustration. They asked George Washington Carver, "Jackie, what kind of books did he take into his lab when he invented all this stuff?" He said, "I only take one book." They said, "What is it?" "What is all this?" He said, "The Bible." Hallelujah. Folks, I'm telling you, we all need a thorn. Because I'm just being honest with you. We all need a thorn. I guarantee you these deacons, the devil talks to them. And he'll try to build you up. I'm telling you right now, he'll try to build you up. But you need that thorn that God's give you to keep you level. My last thing is this. It was a prayed about thorn. Paul said 3 times he prayed for God to remove it. I got to think about as I was studying this, and David kind of mentioned this in Sunday school. Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And when Paul, I just thought about this. I like it when the Lord just gives you something. Paul says right here, he said, "I prayed 3 times, Jackie, for God to remove this. And God said, 'My grace is sufficient.'" You never hear in the Word of God again that Paul prayed about this. What, when Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," it was over. When he said amen, he wasn't praying about it no more. I believe when Paul prayed that 3rd time and Jesus come down and said, "My grace is sufficient," Paul said, "Yes, sir, I'm not praying about this again. I'll just take it and I'll deal with it." Sometimes you just got to deal with stuff. Amen. Sometimes we got to do what we can. Do all you can. There's grace for you. Now listen, as I was studying this today and thinking about this, if your thorn is a sin or temptation, a sin, there's grace to cover it. Amen. I'm telling you right now, in my 30-some years of being a Christian, I have not even come close to dipping into the water bucket of God's grace. And I'm telling you right now, sometimes I feel like I try him, Skip. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I push God to the edge. Have you ever felt like you push God to the edge of his grace and his mercy? And in reality, you can't even see the edge. Whether it's a physical infirmity, whatever it is, God said, "My grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, my grace is sufficient." I was studying today, and I got my message ready, and I've been trying to do a little bit of work around the house and trying to put up a ceiling fan. I'm telling you right now, that'll cause you to backslide. And Benji, I thought about bringing this into the sermon tonight, thinking, yeah, that ceiling, that was a thorn in my flesh today. I told Dallas I didn't cuss. I did chunk something, but I didn't cuss, praise the Lord. You just got to keep going. You just got to keep going. Let me tell you something, folks. I wish that I could tell you after preaching a message like this that I would never fall again, Mike. I wish I could tell you tonight that I got that thorn. I have beat that thorn down. It won't never bother me again. But you know what? It'll probably come back. And Angie's thorn will come back. Bird's thorn's going to come back. Skip's thorn's going to come back. But you know what? There's going to be grace enough to cover it. Now, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you prayed about it? When's the last time you really put it under the blood and asked God to, Lord, if you ain't going to take it away, just give me the wisdom to deal with it. A lot of times, if we ain't careful, we'll wait till something happens, and then we'll have to ask God, Lord, please, just forgive me again, Lord, instead of praying and asking God for the wisdom to deal with the thorn. Like I said a while ago, if it's people that you're around when it happens, avoid them. If it's places, avoid it. God can give us the wisdom to do what we need to do to overcome the thorn. It'll still be there, but praise the Lord, at least you could have victory over it. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me.